Welcome back into a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fabulous new show to share with you today. And joining us are two fantastic artists to speak on this. We have the playwright, director, and actor Sylvia Milo, and the composer and percussionist Nathan Davis. They're joining us to talk to us about their work, Magdalene, I Am the Utterance of My Name, which is playing now through June 30th at Here. And tickets and more information are available at here.org. At the time of this recording, the show has just opened, which is very exciting. So we cannot wait to learn more and in sharing that with you. And the perfect people to do that are our guests. So let us welcome them on. Sylvia, Nathan, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad that you are joining us today. I'm super excited about this piece. The title alone is very eye-catching. So Sylvia, as the playwright, why don't I start with you and have you tell us a little bit about what Magdalene, I'm the Utterance of My Name, is about.
So Magdalene is a music theater piece, and it's not musical theater, it's music theater piece on Mary Magdalene. And it is, we've done years of research into trying to catch something of her, and we chose seven different Mary Magdalenes to portray. So there are seven different chapters, and there are these apparitions that I embody of the different Mary Magdalenes, that's of who people believed her to be over centuries. And it's, you know, based on myths and beliefs, and many are very contradictory of who she could have been or how people imagine her, that what people needed her to be. And we have ancient texts that come from, you know, primary sources in a way of the Bible and also the Gnostic Gospels, and as well as more contemporary like Patti Smith and artworks. And we center the piece on the Gospel of Mary, which was an early Christian text, early second century, that was at around fourth century or so banished from the original texts, buried and, you know, hidden by someone, and found in 20th century in the desert sand in Egypt. And it's an incredible text, incredible message that really wasn't translated to English language for in books for regular people, not scholars, till 1990s. So it is still not very well known text, and centered the whole piece on that. And that message of the only gospel that is named by a woman's name, and it is Mary Magdalene.
That is fantastic. So Sylvia, what inspired you to write and create this piece?
Well, I grew up as a Catholic, and Mary Magdalene is always somewhere in the shadows, especially of the Easter story. And I always thought, you know, there must be something more to her that I could find out. And, you know, as I got on this quest of research, I mean, it was just astonishing how much information people have gathered, you know, either imagined, channeled, or got perhaps firsthand. But it is a fascinating way of unearthing the story that actually was buried. It was buried in the sand. And my previous piece was on the sister of Mozart and how she was erased from history, and, you know, the genius sister, and then this other Mary that was as well slightly erased, slightly dimmed throughout history.
That is incredible. I love all that. Now, Nathan, let me ask you, you know, you're the composer and a percussionist in the show. How is it you came upon this piece?
Well, I've been involved with the piece since the very beginning. I worked on Sylvia's previous project, The Other Mozart, as composer and sound designer. And right away, as she was developing ideas for this, she asked me to be involved. And so I've been doing all the research and reading from the beginning, which was really 8 years ago. So we've read a lot of books and a lot of the same books. And sometimes I'm underlining the same passages that she did, and sometimes different ones. But we both have different endpoints to this material, different fascinations, and there are so many really rabbit holes you can go down in investigating these different traditions. So I was especially interested in how Mary Magdalene's character came together with the reemergence of theater in Western Europe during the Middle Ages, in what was kind of proto-opera, pre-opera. There was Gregorian chant already, and then there was Easter plays, mystery plays. And in these depictions of the crucifixion and such, there was this very popular character, Mary Magdalene, because she is the most dynamic, changing person in the whole story. So there were lots of different plays written throughout England and Germany and Belgium, Netherlands, and France, which had not only texts with lots of lines attributed to Mary Magdalene, but also music that set this going back to, we have documentation going back to the 12th century. So there's a very strong musical connection throughout the history of her myths. I would say the other very exciting entry point for me was early in the process, we were in France on a residency where I was composing a string quartet, and Sylvia was beginning research on Mary Magdalene, and we discovered this strong myth about Mary Magdalene arriving to southern France, you know, in the first century on a boat with no oars, and landing in Marseille and converting the king and queen of Marseille and all the people living there, and then retiring to a cave in a place called Saint-Auban, which is near to Aix-en-Provence. And that cave is there, and you climb up for 1 hour through a just magical forest, and you get to this cave, which is in the side of a cliff. And we went inside, and it's a beautiful space that's actually has kind of a tiny church built into it. But the sound is incredible. There's water dripping from every corner that creates this just music of water dripping. And then I was just hooked. That for me was the basis for the whole sound design of the play. So I got very excited about it from that moment.
Wow, that is amazing. What a great inspiration for the music too. That's incredible. So Nathan, sticking with you, as I mentioned in our opening at the time of this recording, you just opened last night. What has it been like developing this piece?
It's been a long and deep gestation. We first showed a draft of it in 2017, and some of those elements are still in there, and some we let go. We did a residency together at the Bolyasko Foundation in 2018, where we developed more of the structure of the piece, and also did more field recordings, and Sylvia got some of her costume pieces there. And then we did a showing at the Baryshnikov Center in 2019, and you know, already that seemed like a fairly finished piece, kind of ready to go. And then we kept working, but then there was a pandemic and we had a child. And then we developed some more through Morristown, New Jersey. The museum there gave us a tech residency, and we added a wonderful video design from Monica Duncan. I kept writing more music. And so texts would come in, texts would leave. We killed a few darlings. And finally, we did another few shows back in January. And here we are. I mean, it's the way I like to develop work, which is really thoughtful and over time, and seeing how things land with audiences in various iterations.
That is fabulous. Fabulous. Sylvia, coming back to you as, you know, both director and actor in the show as well, is there a message or thought you hope audiences will take away from your piece?
Well, I think that there are two things. One is to look closer at the stories that we think we know, because so many women have been written out of history, or not written down in the first place. Or if they were, perhaps some things were manipulated, distorted, erased, like with Mary Magdalene, her gospel got erased for centuries. We didn't even know it existed till last century. And it was written in the early second century. I mean, for centuries, we had no idea. So to look closer at the history, to look for women and to look closer, if there is a woman present, what is that story? Because a lot of history, most of history was written by men, with focus on men, on the great men that were doing things. And, you know, the perspective on women, we still have to dig, and sometimes literally dig in sand to find them, bring them back to history, or bring them clearer into history. So that's one call. And then there's a reclaiming Mary Magdalene for today. Who is she today? And I lead a visualization in the play of people, inviting people to imagine, and through the imagination, to climb into the cave of in Saint-Aubin of Mary Magdalene and encounter their Mary Magdalene. And it's really beautiful. And afterwards we do a share if people choose to. And you know, the Marys that show up for people are very all different, but also very similar in presence. And you know, it is a way of figuring out of just seeing who does she appear as now, as we the people right now, who do we need her to be, who is she right now. And you know, there's the Gospel of Mary, which is an incredible text. It's such a beautiful text. And it speaks of our nature, which the true nature that is without sin. It says there's no such thing as sin, and that it basically comes from our corrupted nature. When we are out of balance from our true nature, a sin comes. Sin may exist, may appear, but it's actually not real. It's not of our nature. We are sinless. And I think it's a beautiful message that can alleviate a lot of suffering from people. Yeah.
Wonderful. Nathan, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Sure. The interesting thing to me beyond that with the Gospel of Mary Magdalene is it's a mystical text. It's really very different in tone and content from the synoptic gospels, the four that are in the Bible. It's not a different version of the same story. It is a completely different worldview and presentation of teachings. So there is this it's more focused on the self and balance with the self, as Sylvia said about being true to one's own nature, and without an external judging God figure. And then there's this, a lot of it, we only have a fragment of it. They think that the whole document was probably maybe 10 pages of papyrus, and we have about half of that. So there are holes in the text and whatnot, but there's this fantastic last part which describes the journey of the soul. And this is has nothing about, you know, last judgment and Saint, you know, Saint Peter at the gates. It is the human soul ascending through various layers to try to reach enlightenment, and these powers that try to distract it and catch it off guard and trick it into not ascending toward personal enlightenment. And they're depicted as these kind of demons. I guess they are actually kind of demons, but it's such a weirdly wonderful way of explaining the journey toward enlightenment that is much more similar to Eastern religions than what I certainly received in Christianity.
That is fascinating. I love it. And that leads to my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to Magdalene, I am the utterance of my name? And Nathan, why don't we start first with you on that, please?
I would hope that anybody can find access to this piece. In terms of the subject matter, I think if someone knows something about Mary Magdalene, perhaps they saw The Last Temptation of Christ or Jesus Christ Superstar or any of the other major works in our popular culture that depict her, they will have some entrance point for who is Mary Magdalene, or someone who is Catholic might have a certain perspective, or someone who is involved in the goddess movement might have a perspective on Mary Magdalene. And I think any of these people will come to it and be somewhat confirmed in their beliefs and also somewhat confronted with other versions, because we do present seven different versions, which are each deeply rooted in traditions. We didn't make them up. They are contradictory, and we don't try to solve it for people. So we don't present a dogmatic view of this. It is about belief, and belief is a wonderful and powerful thing. But my belief doesn't have to be your belief. And then I would say, in terms of access, I come very much from contemporary music, concert music, chamber, contemporary classical, and I think audiences who are interested in experimental music will find a lot to enjoy as well.
Fabulous, fabulous. Sylvia, anything you'd like to add?
Yes, the piece is about a figure coming from Christian religion, but it is also part of our history because, the Catholic Church had such big political power and such reach throughout the world, even politically, and shaping the reality of people's lives, that it is part of history. It's not for Christians only. It's relevant for all of us because we have been affected by it. Mary Magdalene, as an apostle and disciple, as she was depicted in these gospels that were rejected in later centuries by the forming church, was denigrated by the church to the image of a prostitute to take away her power. And, from a role of leadership to this stigmatized profession, sinfulness of a prostitute, while her message was there's no such thing as sin, it's incredible. And, the leadership of women, that is still an ongoing problem that we as society are not ready for it. We've been manipulated into not accepting that. And a big part of it was, I believe, in our history, was the denigration of the leadership of Mary Magdalene in the Gospels. So I think it is relevant to everyone who cares about why we are where we are. Definitely to women, but of course to men too. It affects us all. Yesterday, the Southern Baptist Convention was voting on to ban women pastors. I mean, that is shocking that women have made some headways in church institutions. And in 2024, there was a vote to take it away. It's shocking. And it's still happening. And of course, it's also in politics.
Well, on the second part of our show, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I know that we are running short on time, but I can't let you go without asking my favorite question, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
The interesting part is that when I was growing up until probably when I was 20, I could not go to the theater. I was terrified. I would have panic attacks seeing a play. It was too much for me. So, I loved film, and my first theatrical experience that led me, I think, to theater was a monologue by Blanche DuBois from Streetcar Named Desire, and that I did as a I took an acting class just as a thing. I just wanted to know what actors know about being on stage. And then when I saw the film of that, which was, the same later, similar, well, actually not the same actress played Blanche, but it was a very theatrical film, the with Brenda. I mean, that character for me was the entry point to theater. And from then on, I lost this panic of theater. But my favorite director is I'm originally from Poland, and it's a Polish director, Krystian Lupa, and his plays go on for 7 hours. That's like the shortest one, 7 hours in one day. There are some that go for 12 hours over 2 days, like 12 hours and 12 hours, and they're stunning. They're visually stunning, with in the scope of the stage, that there's so much bare stage and air, above the stage. It's just such, they look so epic, but there's only like one character on stage, and not much furniture or anything. But the action happens slowly, but because of the music element, even just like a beating of a drum or something, it's also not saturated with music. It's just like the element of sound that he uses, and the lights and the space and the actor and what the actors say and how they do it. It keeps you in this, it slows you down into this space of wonderment and connection. It's not realistic completely, but it's also not out of reality. It's just this space of beauty that time slows down, and those 7 hours seem like one. And that is my favorite theatrical experience.
I love that. We love a great origin story, a great coming to the theater story. So thank you for that. Nathan, how about you?
Well, I'll give a little bit of origin story, or a kind of a way into theater. I grew up going to see some community theater. I grew up in Alabama, and when I was still pretty small, the Alabama Shakespeare Festival opened up about an hour away from where I was living in Auburn, and that was a great cultural improvement to the state. And saw a lot of productions there, a lot of Shakespeare, but also Tennessee Williams and other plays. And I remember a lot of those quite clearly. So I think I saw my first Midsummer Night's Dream production there. And then while I was in college, I saw a wonderful production at Houston Grand Opera of Benjamin Britten's setting of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And to see what a composer could do with that same text and remake a piece in sonically was incredibly inspiring to me. And a couple of years later, I had the opportunity to score Midsummer Night's Dream with Alley Theater there in Houston and get into the sound world and text from my own perspective, which was quite different from Benjamin Britten's. And it showed me more about the from the inside how these plays are so malleable, and why we keep coming back to them, and why live performance and new theater is so essential and relevant. So that's the main thing for me in terms of what, maybe I'll just leave it there.
That is a fabulous memory as well. Wow, I love both of those. Thank you both so much for sharing those with us. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Well, our previous collaboration, The Other Mozart, about the sister of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, the genius sister, that is touring constantly. I mean, it's been 10 years since our run at Here Arts, also with that play. And we keep touring it internationally. We've done 30 states, like six European countries, and we've been also to Hong Kong. And we hope, I mean, continuous touring. So please do look on our website, theatthemozart.com, for schedule for those shows.
Well, that is a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Magdalene, I am the utterance of my name, or about either of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
We have a website, utteranceofmyname.com. We also have Facebook site, Magdalene Utterance, and Instagram, Magdalene Utterance.
And personally, sylviamilo.com and nathandavis.com. And I also have a lot of material. I have a number of albums up at Bandcamp and through all the streamers, Apple Music and Amazon and Spotify and all of those.
Also, I would like to mention we do have an Indiegogo campaign going on about the play, and one of the perks is a digital recording, a video recording of the play. So if anyone is interested but unable to come to New York City in June, there is that option of, contributing to the project and receiving a video recording sometime in August when we edit it together.
If I can add one more thing, also, we're going to be having talkback panels after a number of the performances, starting on Sunday, which is our real opening day. There's going to be a talkback with the Magdalene creative team, including Sylvia and me, and Monica Duncan, the projection designer, Nicholas Hufek, the lighting designer, Cody Milburn, the hair and makeup design, and our dramaturg, Jess Applebaum. And there's going to be a little party after that. And can I give you a couple more panels that we're going to have as well?
Yes, please. Yes.
So on following the performance on June 21st, there's going to be a panel on the divine feminine and queerness. And that's going to be with Micah Busey. And who else is confirmed for that?
Micah is confirmed, but there'll be more speakers coming. He is the progressive senior minister of Judson Church in New York City.
And then on June 23rd, panel on Called by Name, The Commissioning of Mary Magdalene, Apostle and Witness. That's going to be with Rita Houlihan, director on Future Churches Board, Janet Antico, theology teacher of Sacred Scripture, Social Justice at the Academy of St. Elizabeth. On June 26th, there's a panel on decriminalizing sex work with Caitlin Bailey, founder and executive director of Old Pros. And finally, June 27th, talk back with the Magdalene creative team, this time joined by Janice Orlandi, movement director. So what we've done with these is taken each of the different Mary Magdalenes that we portray and extend them into a conversation that's very much grounded in today, in the real world, with people who are familiar with those topics and engage with them professionally and personally in ways that we can't even approach in that we can direct through theater and bring into people's lives.
That is all so fantastic. Wonderful. Well, thank you both again so much. This has been a joy. Thank you very much.
Thank you so
Thank you,
much, Andrew.
Andrew.
It
It
was
was wonderful
wonderful.
questions and wonderful to speak with you.
My guests today have been the amazing playwright, director, and actor Sylvia Milo and the wonderful composer and percussionist Nathan Davis. They joined us to talk about their new piece, Magdalene. I am the utterance of my name, which is playing now through June 30th at Here. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting here.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But right now, you need to head over to here.org, get your tickets for this fantastic piece. Join us. Let's make it a stage whisper night out at the theater. Again, the show is Magdalene. I am the utterance of my name, playing now through June 30th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
Keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper. Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.